Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127games.com.
Welcome to Wargaming Recon. I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. Wargaming Recon is the only member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network to discuss historical and New England gaming. This is episode 114, 5 Tips to Turn Off a Would-Be Wargamer. So this episode's a little different than usual. If you're a longtime listener, you know that most of our episodes have some sort of special guest on, someone who's an expert about something, or really knowledgeable, a con organizer, a wargames magazine editor, or something. If you're new to the show, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but that's okay because it means this is fresh and new for you. This episode gets some inspiration, actually, from a few different places, and I just want to highlight what they are for all of you. Some buddies of mine and I, we've been running some games, events at local conventions, in particular TotalCon in Mansfield, Massachusetts, and we've kind of learned a little bit of things to do and to not do when you're trying to reach out to a crowd of people who are not, by any stretch of the imagination, hardcore wargamers. People who are experiencing our events as an introduction to wargaming. And then I know there are some of you who are listeners and some who have been guests on the show who really try hard to promote the hobby and spread it and reach out to those who maybe have never played a wargame before or maybe never realized what they were doing was wargaming. So because of all of you, you've shared things that you do that work for how to turn someone on as a wargamer. And I thought, why don't I come up with a list of my own kind of things, but flip it on its head. Instead of saying, you should do this, I'm telling you what to not do. Now keep in mind, I'm doing this with tongue-in-cheek. It's kind of going to be humorous, I hope. And hopefully you're going to see this is all good nature. I do want to say that I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that there's a chunk of us who've done at least some of these things and, of course, have done them accidentally, did not do any of these things on purpose, just things that we maybe accidentally do from time to time. The purpose of this episode is to give you some ideas on basically what to not do, to avoid doing. Should you ever be running a demo or participation game at your friendly local game store or at a board gaming club, or maybe at a convention or a trade show, anything like that. Things to avoid, unless you're really hoping to turn off would-be wargamers, in which case, I welcome you to the list and encourage you to do as many of these things as possible, because I think they're going to work to make people not want to play any sort of wargames from now until eternity. So, without further ado, this is a top 5 list. I'm going to just jump right in with number 1, and these are in no particular order. They're all basically of equal rank, more or less, but number 1 of my 5 tips to turn off a would-be wargamer is you should be as unwelcoming as possible. Your goal, really, with this is to make the would-be wargamer feel like they're disturbing you, that they're taking up your valuable time. You should express this in your body language. Be sure to cross your arms, don't smile, maybe don't even establish any sort of eye contact. Always look away. Make your words sound very authoritative and demanding. Make your actions be sharp. Instead of just gently pointing at something, snap your arm out and just point like you're stabbing in the air at whatever the model is, the person, the table, the rules, whatever you're trying to do. Make it seem like you would rather be just about anywhere else in the world other than at that place, at that time, with that person or people. Make them feel like they're not worth your time. Maybe you should ignore them. You could just spend the time talking on the phone or texting. If you're at a game club or at a game show, trade show, a convention, or your friendly local game store, maybe just wander off and go hang out with some other people. Leave the would-be wargamer standing there by themselves. Make them feel like they need to figure out things for themselves instead of having you there. Or you could also go a different route. You could be a rules lawyer. every little nuance in the rules you can stretch for your own benefit, presuming that you are playing against this would-be wargamer. Or you could also try to be a power gamer. Make it so that you are doing everything possible for you to win and for them to not. So that's number one. Be as unwelcoming as possible. Number two, you should make the game or the demo, whatever it is, be as complex as humanly able. You want it to be so one-sided that the would-be wargamer has no hope whatsoever of winning. That no matter what they do, there is no right outcome. Because really, at the end of the day, what better teacher is there for someone than to suffer a drastic defeat? One that they can't get out of. Because it's fun for a would-be wargamer to play a fantastic Battle of Rorke's Drift, right? For them to be the British, for them to play as the Texans in the Alamo, to be vastly outnumbered by superior force, or in the case of the Zulu, just vastly outnumbered with no hope of survival, but the intention of just taking as many of them as the would-be wargamer can before the would-be wargamer perishes in a fit of glory. You just want them to know that there's no way out and that there's really no hope of success, but still they're going to go through this futile effort anyway because, well, just because. You also want to make sure that you go into really great depth with the rules. Spend a lot of time on maybe a particular section of rules or a particular part of the rules that won't come up in your demo or your event, or one that doesn't come up much at all. Maybe you can just spend a few hours just talking about the rules instead of playing it. I find that's really a good way to go with this. And you can also spend a lot of time explaining how things are supposed to go. Because maybe you've already in your head created this image for how the demo, how the event is going to go, how your time with the would-be wargamer will come, what the results will be. So if you do this, if you explain to the would-be wargamer how things are supposed to go, you basically are able to tell them up front what your goal is at the end of the game and how you want it to come out and what they need to do to make sure that it happens. So that way, you are able to accomplish what you set out to. Number three, you can turn the would-be wargamer into an observer. Why bother allowing the would-be wargamer to do anything? There's no fun in that. It's your stuff, right? It's your models, it's your terrain, it might be your table if you're playing at your own home, or if you're playing at a game club that you belong to, maybe you've made or donated the table. Why allow the would-be wargamer touch anything, to do anything, because they might break it. They might cause it to fall. You spend a lot of time painting these things, assembling them, getting them together, making it look just the way you want it to. So why bother letting the other person touch them, to do anything with them? If they want to move a unit to a certain hill, well, you'll move them to the hill because, well, they're your stuff, and you have more experience doing it. You're better able to do what the would-be wargamer wants, because you're the wargamer. You're the one who created this, who worked on everything. You are the one who knows the best way to maneuver those troops onto that hill. And really, while you're thinking about it, you might want to even go further. Instead of letting them tell you what they want to do, or letting them roll the dice, why don't you just roll all the dice? And say, okay, this is for the would-be wargamer's turn, and then you roll your dice and shake them up. You roll the would-be wargamer's dice, I'm sorry, and shake them up and put them out. Or if it's one of those kind of games where maybe you don't use dice and you have, like, say, written down orders or things of that sort, well, you could write down the orders for the would-be wargamer. Maybe you could have written them down before you guys all got together to play. You could have done that at home, got it ready, and just handed them and said, turn one, you're going to do this, and turn two, this will happen, and then if such and such happens, well, then you want to use this because I wrote it all out for you and I just made it easier because this way you can just have this. You don't have to think. You can just say, here's what it is. Or better yet, why not just let them sit there? And then you can pull your written orders out and say, okay, this is happening. And then you do your turn and this happens. And then you do the would-be wargamer's turn and do that. Kind of like a solo wargame, but not really, of course, because the purpose here is to encourage the would-be wargamer. to become a wargamer, but you're going to do that by showing them everything and just having them sit there and relax and get comfortable and do that. Or maybe you're going to actually allow them to do stuff. You let them roll the dice, you let them move the models, all that kind of stuff. You let them make the decisions. But instead of them making all the decisions, maybe what you're going to do is you'll just keep on reminding them, gently of course, just a helpful reminder that you would do whatever. I wouldn't move those guys. Say, I wouldn't charge that unit. I would suggest that this happens, or I don't think that happens. If it were me, this would not be my course of action. If you keep on reminding the would-be wargamer of what you would do, you're going to enlighten them into your depth of experience and knowledge. Especially if you say things like, wow, that was a surprise. Are you sure you want to do that? What card are you playing? Really, is that your deployment? I've never seen it done that way before. These are all very helpful because they really help to encourage the would-be wargamer to rethink their position and to try to figure out what you as the expert would have done. Because, again, you've played more than they have. Maybe years, months, decades. Who knows how long? All of our experiences are different. Some of us have been wargamers longer than others. But no matter what, the thing that we all have in common is that we all have more wargaming experience than this would-be wargamer. So they would be better off deferring to our experience and our knowledge, our expertise. And we're really giving them the benefit by saying things like, I would do this. Or, are you sure you want to do that? Are you really sure? No one I know does anything like that. These are all really helpful ways to get them into the game and to help them to build up their self-esteem and their knowledge and their experience, and more importantly, their desire to not only play this event or demo game, but for them to continue playing it and to want to learn more about it. I'm just going to recap the first three of my five tips on how to turn off a would-be wargamer. Number one was to be as unwelcoming as possible. Not pretend, but make the would-be wargamer think that you want to be anywhere else. You would rather be scrubbing the floors and mopping and dusting and doing an oil change or flying halfway across the world. Anything else other than spending time with them doing the demo game. Number two is to make the demo game as complex as possible. Make that scenario as intricate, as involved. Make your discussion of the rules as long-winded as humanly possible, covering every potential hope and outcome and possibility that exists, no matter if it's mentioned just for one sentence in the rules or for paragraphs in the rules. Just spend lots and lots and lots of time on it. And then number three is to turn the would-be wargamer into an observer instead of a player, instead of a gamer. Turn them into an observer. Let them watch what's going on. Let them see how experience would do things so that they can then soak up that experience like a sponge and just get it like kinetically from osmosis and get that, absorb it all, and then next time that they would be better equipped because by then they would have some experience and they could do the same to a would-be wargamer. Number four is to use ugly models or terrain. I know it sounds crazy, but trust me, you gotta trust me that if you want to turn someone off from wargaming, there's nothing that you can do that'll work better than to make the game look as unappealing as possible. Makes the people who are walking by, make the would-be wargamer who's coming over think, well, that's just, it doesn't look right. There's something wrong with it. That, I don't know, do I want to be seen playing this? Maybe I don't. Make the people think that you care so little that you're not going to do anything to make the game look good, to make it look pretty. Pretty doesn't sell. Ugly sells, right? When you're out and about and you're looking at potential games to buy, models to purchase, you love the ones that are poorly sculpted, that are in an odd scale that no one uses, that don't look anything like they're supposed to be. That's what you want to do. You want to make sure that the figures you are using for this, if you are going to have a bunch of riflemen, you want to use, say, people who are armed with hand weapons, with swords instead, and just pretend because it's close enough, right? You want to use models that are unpainted because nothing attracts a would-be wargamer like an unpainted model, like unpainted terrain. You want to use really boring terrain, terrain that is uninspiring, that doesn't reflect the actual location or setting that you're doing. If you're playing a game that takes place in forests, why bother with forests? Don't have any trees on the table, or have maybe one tree, but just have nothing else. Maybe have a couple buildings, because buildings are fun, right? People like to see 3D things, buildings. Maybe put a cornfield down, or maybe a bridge, or an ocean, maybe, or how about a mountain? You can have a nice big hill, and that'll work, right? Or maybe don't have any terrain at all. Just have that flat surface, nothing on it. Just have the flat surface. Maybe you might have a piece of green felt that you can put over the table. Just put that down. That's close enough. Or maybe don't put anything down at all. Just have it be bare plastic, bare metal, whatever kind of table it is. Bare wood, right? Just have that be what you're playing on. Because that is going to entice the would-be wargamer to play. And when you're setting up the terrain, if you're using terrain, that is. But if you're setting it up, why not make sure that you place the terrain in locations that are really going to be obstacles to the would-be wargamer. Box them in. Don't let them get out of anywhere. Make them be surrounded by impassable terrain, or put a lot of, say, water around them, but don't give them any means of crossing the water. That way they have to just stay there, but this would allow you to move your stuff to get in such a way so that you could get into combat with them, preferably from the rear or the sides, to flank them, and then just charge them up the side and roll up the whole line very, very quickly, because if you make it so that you set up the terrain in such a way that you use terrain in such a way, you're really going to show the would-be wargamer that, first of all, they shouldn't even bother to play because the table doesn't look nice, the models don't look good, but that if they really wanted to power through that and then play, that they have no hope. Which kind of ties back into that first one on the list. Number one, to make it be as unwelcoming as possible, to make the would-be wargamer feel like they're disturbing you. So number one and number four kind of go in hand. Actually, they all kind of go in hand, don't they, a little bit. But that's number four. Use really ugly models or terrain. And then number five is to show up unprepared. Wake up late for it. Roll out of bed. Maybe just kind of throw some old clothes on. They might have stains on them. Maybe they smell. Don't really comb your hair or brush your teeth or anything. If you didn't have anything to eat, don't worry. You can always eat at the event, right? Because there's probably going to be food there, especially if it's a convention. You can go get a bite to eat. Eat while you're running the game and have your mouth full of food, because the would-be wargamer probably didn't get a chance to eat either. They probably woke up late and they're coming, but they might be running behind. And they're probably pretty hungry too. So this way you two can eat together. Make sure that you have no idea really how to play the game. Forget the rules. Maybe you looked through them once a few months ago, but that's good enough because you probably would remember everything that you read, right? You want to make sure that you are not able to answer any questions. If the would-be wargamer comes up to you and says, "Hey, Mr. Demo Guy, Mr. Event Wargamer Person, I want to do such and such. How do I do it?" You want to be able to tell them, "I don't know." Or, "Why don't you look in the book?" Or, here's another really good one. "Well, hang on a second. I have the book with me. Give me a few minutes and I'll flip through and find the answer for you." You want to make sure that you are just completely unprepared, that you don't have any of the stuff or not everything that you need to play. Maybe you can skip the dice and the rulers or measuring tape, leave that stuff at home. You can forget about the rule book because, hey, you have it all memorized, right? You know it inside out of your head, and you can recall every single section accurately at a moment's notice. So you don't really need to bring all the stuff with you. Maybe you don't even have all the models. Maybe you're just using whatever to kind of stand in for some of the models. If they ask you a question, if a would-be wargamer asks you a question, or asks for your help, if they say, "Hey, you know, I don't really know what I should do here. What are my options?" You could refuse to answer them. You could just not answer them or pretend you don't know the answer. You can really help this along by being obstinate and silent. Be a nice, firm wall. Be impenetrable. No matter how many times they ask or plead or inquire for your help, tell them no, that they are better off figuring it out on their own. Because, as we all know, we learn best from our mistakes. The school of hard knocks, right? If you get things handed to you on a silver platter, you're never going to learn. You won't appreciate it. You won't really be able to make a strong memory on how to do things in the future. So you're doing the would-be wargamer a favor by not answering their questions, by not having all the materials, by being unhelpful. Okay. Top 5 list one last time. Number 1 is you need to be as unwelcoming as possible. Make the would-be wargamer feel like you don't really want to be there. Number 2 is to make the game as complex as you possibly can. Really in-depth, complicated rules that you're not even sure you understand, but the would-be wargamer definitely doesn't need to understand. Talk at great length about the rules and spend lots of time about aspects of the rules that almost never show up in a game. Number 3, turn the would-be wargamer into an observer. Don't let them play. What are they thinking? This is not a game that they play. It's a game where they watch, because you have the experience and the knowledge that can help them. So if they observe you, they can just kind of pick up on everything and see how it should be done. Number 4, use ugly models or terrain. Boring models, boring terrain. Things that are unpainted, uninspiring. Things that if someone was to be halfway across the room and look over, would say, that doesn't look very interesting. And then number 5, be unprepared when you show up for the event, for the game, for the demo. Make sure you don't have all the stuff you need. Make sure you're not familiar with the rules. Just generally, don't be helpful. Stand there and just kind of take up the space, but don't really give anything to the would-be wargamer. Make them earn it. Make them do it the hard way. They have to do it all. They have to plow through and just see how far they get and how much they can do on their own with as little or no help from you. Okay. Clearly, like I said at the top of the show, tongue-in-cheek, these are not things I want anyone ever to do. Really. And maybe some of you are going to be annoyed by the fact that I did a list thing and that I did this in the negative and that I'm treating it humorously when this is not a humorous topic. I don't want people to be doing these things. But like I said, we all from time to time accidentally do some of these. I've been on both sides. I've been someone who's been a would-be wargamer who learned a new game, or tried to anyway, where the person running it was maybe a rules lawyer who kept on texting. Maybe they just didn't know the rules as much as possible, or they didn't want me doing things. I've also been on the other side, where maybe I wasn't as prepared as I wanted to be. I thought I was, but I just wasn't. And so it may have made it not as an enjoyable of an experience for a would-be wargamer. Now, this sounds like it's a lot of work to do one of these things, and it really is. If you're running even just an informal demo at your wargaming club or at a friendly local game store or whatever, it's a lot of work even just to put on a small demo and to do it accurately. And it's even more work if you are going to run something like this at a convention or a trade show. If you're going to be at Salute or at TotalCon or HistoriCon or whatever, Huzzah, Havoc, if you go into any of these things, you need to spend lots and lots of time for this. Now, I'm not trying to dissuade anyone from doing this. If you are interested in doing these things, it's important to grow the hobby. It's very, very, very important. It's a topic for another day, for another episode about growing the hobby, or maybe a whole series of episodes. But you can do your part. And the first time you do it, or the first few times, it's not going to be perfect. You're bound to make mistakes, and that's okay. But the importance is that you realize what the mistakes were, and that you then try to fix them. So this list, they're extremes, right? And I did that on purpose, because I really wanted to point out things that might not seem so bad. Because if you forgot some stuff, or maybe if you ran out of models, and so you're using something else to count as, it doesn't sound so bad. And it's something that I'm in favor of if you're just doing a game with a bunch of your friends. I spoke in episode 114 about how necessary is it to paint your models. Is it essential to wargaming? And I'm going to say it's not essential to wargaming. Unless, and what I said in episode 114, the big exception for me is if you're running a demo, running an event at a convention or a trade show, then it is, because then the models and the terrain and everything becomes eye candy. People like pretty things. It's how it is. If you're out in the stores and there are things on an end cap or things displayed nicely that look beautiful and clean and neat, you're more likely to go over and investigate, maybe to buy them, to look at them, to think about them. Think about Games Workshop, a company we don't talk much about, but Games Workshop in their magazine, White Dwarf, big, glossy, full-color photographs of their models, of their products that makes people get excited about the products and get them so excited that they spend lots of money on these products. Why does Games Workshop do it? They do it because they know that pretty sells. And just like pretty sells in a magazine, pretty, quote, sells to would-be wargamers. It gets people interested in playing your game. And this ties into episodes that I've done before on my own and with guests, talking about how to run successful convention shows or events, how to get people into gaming, how to run a good demo and all that kind of stuff. Part of it is you have to have that eye candy. Way back when I was first interested in getting together with some friends to run a miniatures event at TotalCon, I got in touch with the person in charge of it, Angela Parento, who is in charge of promotions and media, all that kind of stuff. And I said to her, okay, Angela, want to get some stuff together, want to run an event, but I'm worried about people actually showing up to play. Like, are they going to pre-reg or what are they going to do? And she said, Jonathan, most people who come who are miniatures wargamers, miniatures gamers, they don't pre-register for events. They come to the convention and they walk around the room and then they spend time looking and seeing what games look cool, what models look nice, what tables look appealing, and then they'll play one of those games. They are less interested, at least at TotalCon, is what she said, in what the description of the game is or even in the rule system, and more interested in how it looks. Does it look cool? Does it look fun? Are there a lot of stuff on the table? Does it look too complicated? Does it look too easy? It's the eye candy factor. So that is why I say in this one particular situation, painted models are essential before anything else. You need to be able to get the stuff painted and get them to look nice on the table for your participation game, for your demo, for the event that you are running at a con or a friendly local game store, any of that kind of stuff. They need to look cool. They need to look fun and inviting and welcoming. By the same token, so do you. You need to look nice. You need to look the part. You need to look friendly. Smile. These are all examples on good things to do. And throughout the episode, I gave examples on things to not do. Before I had recorded this episode, I just was kind of chatting online with some of the people who've inspired this and some people that I've worked with on different wargaming things. And I spoke with two individuals. One of them is a person who's been a guest. His name is Aaron Boshin. He's been here on the show a few times and talked about like how to get back and all that sort of stuff. He's an individual who's heavily involved at his local game store in running Warhammer Fantasy and Warhammer 40K events. He's very enthusiastic. He gets new people interested in the hobby, new people interested in playing these games. So he inspired me based on his good example of stuff. And then another person, a guy who's a listener, who's written in a lot on the show and really appreciate his comments and feedback, is Andrew. Andrew has spent a lot of time helping to get people, in particular teenagers and children, interested in wargaming. He lives over in the UK, and he has done a lot throughout the years, with Flames of War in particular, but just kind of in general, trying to get people excited about wargaming. So like I said at the top of the show, these two people in particular, plus my experience with my buddies here in running events at TotalCon and just kind of talking about events and seeing how events run elsewhere, just kind of made me think, oh, maybe this would be a cool topic. So I, like I said, was speaking with some of these people, and then Andrew actually had given me some tips that he has that are good tips, tips that you should do, tips that will help you to encourage would-be wargamers to become wargamers. So just as a kind of balance point, a counterbalance for my things to not do, unless you want to turn people off, I'm going to share what his are, and he gave his permission for them. So the first thing that Andrew says that would be a good tip on how to turn someone on to wargaming is to, number one, learn to recognize who would make a natural wargamer. Don't try to force people into it. If someone doesn't seem that interested in it, don't do it. I talked about this a little bit along with Aaron. We did an episode on how to turn your girlfriend or wife into a gamer. And one of the things we kind of touched on that was picking the right game for the person. If someone likes a party game, don't pick a game that's too in-depth or a Euro game for them because they're not going to be interested in it. Don't pick something that's a simulation. Don't play Advanced Squad Leader or whatever with them. And by the same token, some people really enjoy the intricate games, so don't dumb it down because it's not going to work. Number two from Andrew is that you need to listen to how the would-be wargamer speaks. For example, a six-year-old does not want a lecture on complicated rules. Don't spend hours and hours going too in-depth with them. You want to make it simplified and accessible for them. And by the same point, if someone has some experience but just doesn't have experience with the game or the system or the period that you are doing, you can beef things up a little bit. You have to make it fit with the would-be wargamer. And then finally, number three, according to Andrew, is most importantly, make it fun for your opponent. Really good tips and advice from Andrew. So I think between his tips and my advice, you can see what you should and should not do. I think some of these are common sense. We all know them, but sometimes we forget it. And like I said, things happen accidentally. We're all human. We all make mistakes. But the important thing is to learn from the mistakes and then move forward. So at this point of the show, we tend to do a mailbag section. And I kind of did that a little bit now, a little different with those tips. But I have one other thing to share, some sort of, I'm going to call it feedback, I guess. So when I was speaking with Andrew, he said that based on talking about this with him, he thought it would be interesting and he wanted to suggest that maybe we add some sort of regular advice column to the show. I don't know whether or not we will, but Andrew wanted to inspire me with some hypothetical, and I think funny, questions that people might write in with. So I'm just going to read a few of the ones that he gave. Like I said, I'm reading them because I think they're humorous. He was surprised. I thought they were humorous, but I think they're a little humorous. So keep in mind, these are all hypothetical questions that someone could potentially write in for. If one of these is your question, or if you have a question that you would like to ask about, I'm not sure why you would, but if you do, I am more than happy to get them, and I will do my darndest to answer them to the best of my ability, and if I can't, then I will seek out someone who can, is how it goes. So these hypothetical questions are, Dear Jonathan, how do I recruit more local wargamers? That's the first one. The second is, how do I wean my teenage sons off Games Workshop and into playing historical wargames with Dad? His next question, hypothetically, of course, is that, Dear John, how can I stop my opponents from cheating? I think you gotta find new opponents, is what I think. And then the last one, and this is one I thought was kind of funny. He hypothetically writes in, Dear Mr. Wargaming Recon, where do baby orc miniatures come from? They come from the factory, Andrew. They come from the factory. Or maybe you made them at home. You might be doing a little making of your own molds and pouring metal and casting and so forth. So anyway, those are just some kind of fun things. And that's the mailbag section, folks. So at this point, I want to remind all of you that we have show notes for every episode. The beauty of show notes is that they combine everything into a centralized location. A lot of people who listen to podcasts do so when they're out on the run, or they're driving to or from work, or they're doing other things. They might not be near a computer, so it's hard to remember web addresses and things to do and all that kind of stuff. I try to make it easy for you. If you forget everything else in the episode, the one thing I want you to remember is the web address, and it's easy, I promise you. The web address has the show notes, it has links to things that we talked about, it has everything, how you can get in touch, all that sort of stuff. So if you remember only one thing, remember this web address, okay? It's very important. You ready? wargamingforums.com/WR114. That's wargamingforums.com/WR114. So that's the website URL, web address, wargamingforums.com, and then an abbreviation for the show, WR for Wargaming Recon, and then 114 is the episode number. Just remember wargamingforums.com/WR114, and that'll get you to the show notes. And the beauty, like I said, about the show notes is it has everything on it. So let's say that you have a question, you want some advice from us here at Wargaming Recon, and you want to contact us and find out how. Well, I could tell you, you can find us on Facebook. We're very lively on Facebook, a lot of activity there. I could tell you that we're also on Twitter. You can get us by going to wargamingforums.com tweet. I could tell you to email us, cwfgamecast@wargamingforums.com. I could tell you about the website, wargamingforums.com. The show notes, best way, because it has links to all of that. It'll connect you to our Facebook page, so that way you don't need to remember wargamingforums.com/Facebook. You don't need to remember wargamingforums.com/tweet for Twitter or the email address. You just remember that one website, wargamingforums.com/WR114. It has links to it all. It has all the content in some form or another that we talked about here on the show. That has everything you need. And then just a couple other things I want to mention before this episode winds down. I've been talking about the past few episodes about something cool that I'm doing for 2014, and that is the episode guide. It's a new thing that we're doing, and the beauty of the episode guide is that if you happen to go and check it out, again, by going through our show notes, you'll be able to see what's coming up for future episodes. You'll be able to see what's coming down the pipe. We use it to share potential guests, topics, episode titles and names, and most importantly, when the episodes will come out. So, for example, you could look on and you could see that in November 2014, there's going to be the annual holiday gift guide episode. You can look and see when such and such guest is going to be on. And speaking of guests, I can tell you for a fact that I have two people who are going to be appearing on a future episode of Wargaming Recon pretty soon, actually. The first person is a repeat guest. Actually, they're both repeat guests. But the first person is Mr. Henry Hyde. He's the editor of Miniatures Wargames, now with Battle Games, and also the author of The Wargaming Compendium. So he's going to be coming on and talking about all sorts of cool stuff. And then I'm also very excited to say that Mr. Stephen McLaughlin will be appearing once again, although the first time I will actually be speaking with him for the show. A previous co-host had spent time with him for episode 50, I think it was. But he's going to be coming back and speaking with me. Steven is the head honcho of WWPD, the What Would Patton Do network. It's a whole suite of podcasts and blogging content about Flames of War and Saga, bolt action, things of that sort. And he was also formerly of Battlefront Miniatures. He got to work with them over there as a digital media manager, I believe, something like that. So he's going to be coming on and talking about all sorts of cool things. And then we will have some other guests for you coming forward in future episodes, but I don't want to give too much away just yet. But you can always find out all of that by going to the episode guide, checking out the show notes, and then don't forget the next episode of Wargaming Recon, episode 115, will release on May 26th, 2014. So that's when episode 115 comes out. This is episode 114. Five tips to turn off a would-be wargamer. Thank you, all of you, for spending this time with us here, for spending this time with me, and welcoming me into your homes, into your lives. I want to thank everyone who had inspired the content for the show, and I hope all of you who've listened that you found it enjoyable, helpful, or maybe even funny, I don't know. As always, I love getting feedback. I love getting constructive criticism. I love getting comments. I love getting questions. Love hearing from you. It's my favorite part of podcasting, communicating with all of you. So be sure to check out those show notes. Once again, I'm not going to keep on beating this dead horse, but check out the show notes because that'll tell you how. There's an email address. There's a Facebook. We're on Twitter. We have a phone number. You can leave voicemails, all that sort of stuff. You can find it from the show notes. So thank you once again for listening to this episode of Wargaming Recon. As always, I am your host, Jonathan J. Reinhardt. You know that no matter how busy your week is, no matter how much time you have to spend at work, things you have going on with your family and your friends, that it is absolutely vital that you always have to, need to, gotta keep on gaming.
This is Andreas, Apprentice of the White Order. I would like to invite you to listen to my letters, a humble collection of my observations of the various beautiful and very, very dangerous creatures that inhabit my world. I hope you enjoy it as part of the Monsters of the Shattered World on Troll in the Corner, at trollitc.com.
Hey there, this is Ben Gerber from Troll in the Corner, and I'd like to invite you to listen to my podcast, Indie Talks. Indie Talks is a discussion about independent publishing, where we take a look at indie games, the people who write them, and the people who play them. We're going to branch a little farther afield as well and talk to some independent television and movie stars and creators, as well as crafters, all of who are related to gaming in some way, shape, or form. So please join me on the Troll in the Corner Network at trollitc.com and give Indie Talks a listen.
Wargaming Recon is proudly sponsored by 127games.com, home of the cheapest Access and Allies miniatures. Find them at 127games.com.
Are you always on the go? Why not take Wargaming Recon with you? If you use an app like Pocket Casts, you can listen to your favorite episodes of Wargaming Recon and all of the other podcasts that you know and love. Or you can always stream and download the latest episode of Wargaming Recon by heading on over to the show notes for that episode.
Wargaming Recon is a proud member of the Troll in the Corner podcast network. Visit www.trollitc.com for more information. This recording is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 license. Look for Wargaming Recon online at www.wargamingforums.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Stitcher Radio. You can learn more about this episode by reading the show notes on our blog. Many thanks to Andrew and Court for inspiring the show's name. Thank you for listening, and keep on gaming.